third quarter financial report, and I believe Ms. Gillis and others will be presenting. Each quarter, the Board of Education monitors the district-wide condition in compliance with and is outlined in Board Executive Limitation Policies EL5, Financial Planning and Budgeting, and EL6, Financial Administration. Lori Gillis, Kathleen Askelson, Executive Director of Finance, and the Independent Auditor from Clifton Larson Allen will identify funds, departments, and or schools to monitor closely throughout the year. Ms. Gillis? Ms. Askelson?
Good evening. And we are going to step back in time and look at the third quarter, the end of March, what the district's reports look like. So I'm going to hand it over to Paul Niedermuller from Clifton Larson Allen, who's going to talk a little bit about the report he did on the review of the quarterly.
Well, thank you, Ms. Askelson, and members of the Board of Education. I want to bring to your attention the letter from our firm, which is the procedures we performed over this third quarter report. I'm just going to briefly go over the results. As you can see from the report, the first page and a half illustrates the procedures we performed. If you flip to the second page, you will see the results of those procedures as a result reviewing the third quarter financial report. A couple items that I want to bring to your attention before turning back over to the district. If you look at the first bullet point under the results of performing procedures, you will see the general fund as of March 31, 2014 had a net fund balance deficit of $37 million. Now keeping in mind, and you'll see the illustration or the commentary surrounding that, the property taxes will be receipted in the fourth quarter, but that is a deficit as of March 31, and one of our procedures is to define any type of fund balance deficit. The other item I wanted to bring to your attention is the district has adopted a flag system to kind of alert of items of concern utilizing your red flag and a yellow flag. And those flags are illustrated and described in more detail on the third page of the document from our firm. You will see the areas of alertment or alerted to on the flag system relate to the food service fund and four of the charter schools, and you can see the reasons for those flags on the right-hand side of the column. I'm gonna now turn it over, unless there's any questions as it relates to our report, to Ms. Askelson.
Thanks, Paul. All right, we have a presentation that covers the high points of the quarterly report. On the first page, we have our chart on our cash balances at the end of March and our forecasts for the rest of the quarter. And as you can see, in March, we start to pick up from our property tax collections our cash basis. So it's been going down since July as we used last year's property tax revenues, and now it's starting to pick back up. So we'll talk a little bit more about how that affects our general fund and debt service as we go through. But comparing year to year, we are $59 million less than the prior year, and that was because the prior year we issued tax anticipation notes to help cover us during that shortfall from the property tax collection timeframe. Moving on to the general fund, our revenues have increased over the prior year due in the majority to specific ownership tax and our state revenue increasing. It's low compared to budget at the end of March because we still haven't received the majority of our property taxes. Our expenditures are slightly higher than the prior year due to para increasing and compensation. But again, we are a little low compared to budget at a 75% benchmark due to the timing of expenditures and savings in staff turnover and vacancies for the year. Just as a reminder of the changes that occurred in 13-14 for our general fund, our revenue increased from the prior year from mill levy override and state funding, which was used to offset $45 million in reductions that would have been potentially needed to be made. Para increased 0.9% in January of 13. We canceled furlough days and reinstated other work days for 13-14. We had other budgeted increases as adopted, and our fund balance was budgeted to increase $9.5 million. I think right now our estimate that's in the current budget book is at 8.6 for the current year. With that, our board reserve policy will be fulfilled. A couple of other things that occurred in the fourth quarter that were discussed earlier were our investment in our new math program, Math Expressions. That expense will be in the fourth quarter for the general fund. And then technology, we increased the mobile device readiness supplemental for that initiative. And there was additional expending on the classroom dashboard. Any questions on the general fund? All right, we'll move on to other governmental funds.
One quick question. You said there was additional spending on the classroom dashboard. You mean accelerated from next year into this year?
It was funded this year. I think it was about $900 or $1 million on the dashboard. It came out of existing budget. It was not part of the supplemental. Okay, other governmental funds, debt service. We have our principal and interest payments that we make in December, and in the fourth quarter, we make interest-only payments in June. The remainder of the fund balance and debt service that we collect from property tax collections will be used to be making next December's principal and interest payments. And again, this fund is low on revenue, just like general fund, because it's driven by property taxes. Our capital reserve fund, the expenditures are still slightly below our benchmark, but we anticipate this fund ending as projected. Well, a lot of work going on in June. And the same with our building fund. It should be picking up a lot in the fourth quarter. Our grants fund has revenues and expenditures greater compared to the prior year from the majority of two non-federal grants that were received in advance. That was the Reed Act and the Gates Foundation grant. And also we're seeing additional expenditures for the Rocky Mountain Deaf Schools BEST grant. And that grant is we spend and then we request reimbursement. So that's creating higher compared to the prior year. Our Campus Activity Fund, which accounts for our funds from student fees and the activities there, has additional revenue and expense compared to the prior year. That depends on the type of activities. When we look through it, are there some things like Ute Meadows had a trip to Washington, D.C. this year that they didn't last year. So it really depends on what type of things the schools are doing. Okay. And then our last special revenue fund is transportation. And the fees collections for ridership is down for the year, but it is up for field trip and other. So overall, the revenue for the fund is up over the prior year. And expenditures, and we talked about this in prior quarters, are up from special needs students. Transportation's going up. Any questions on our special revenue or other governmental funds?
Could you clarify about the transportation fund? Why do you think it's down from the prior year? Are fewer people riding, or did you say that?
I don't believe ridership changed. We had a structure change in the fees. And Steve Bell might be able to help me with the change in that structure.
We did revise a couple of our fee structures to provide better opportunities for students that were transporting two situations. One is shuttling from essentially from one school to what we might call a sister school, like elementary to middle. So we reduced the fee expense for those students that were taking advantage of that very short fare going, say, for example, they could get to an elementary school where a bus was located as a stop. They could then take what we call a shuttle run to the middle school rather than going to another bus stop. So we reduced that fee for them. The other thing that we did is we gave families and students a break when they were only riding partial time, as opposed to a full time. So we made a special accommodation for them, and that caused a little reduction in our fee income. Our ridership on a numbers base is actually about the same or a little bit higher than it has been.
Thank you.
Okay, enterprise funds. So we do have a yellow flag on our food service fund this year. Participation, we've talked about it over the year, has not been as high as it had the previous year. So it's the revenue is down from the prior year, and meal counts are down. So adjustments are going to be made to the meal choices and menu plans for next year. But for right now, the projection is that the fund will be spending down some of its reserves for the current year.
Did do we have any projections on the impact of I know we've improved the food quality by the federal according to the federal requirements. Do we have any projections at all on what impact that will have to the food revenues?
Steve, I'm not sure if you've got any data around the mandated school healthy choice.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mandates around school healthy choice usually cost us money and don't provide much benefit. What we know is that although there's many people that think that they know what's best for students to eat, and maybe they do, that doesn't mean the students are going to eat it, quite frankly. So we find that our participation, and this is a national trend, participation in food programs provided by public education facilities across the country is down somewhere in the area of about 10%.
Thank you. Yeah, Ms. Fell.
I've been talking to some of my colleagues in other school districts. I know that in Cherry Creek, because of the federal guidelines, they saw a 26-cent increase in meals, while the federal government supplemented them with 6 cents of that, and they had to pick up the 20-cent cost. How much is our impact from that?
I can't recite a specific number, but it's going to be consistent with what most other school districts.
So about 20 cents?
I can get that information specifically for you. I don't have that off the top of my head right now.
No need to get it. Just a ballpark is good. Thanks.
So as far as it being a yellow flag, we have been working closely with the food service director and making sure we have a plan and how to balance the fund into the next year. Our other enterprise funds are our child care fund and our property management. And for more information on the results in the child care fund, I would refer you to the large document, pages 20 and 21. But all of the programs are doing better than the prior year. We've opened some new additional classrooms, and so there were no concerning areas in that fund, at least from our part. And then property management is the fund that we use to account for building use fees. And the expenses are up from the prior year in that fund. We had some facility assessments that we paid for out of that this year. Any questions on enterprise funds?
Yeah, is the the aggregate of what you get in the child care fund solely from fees, or is that funded any other way by the state, for example?
Well, the majority is from fees, but we do put the Colorado preschool funding from the state in there, which the budget was revised this year, so we're just going to put it directly in there instead of putting it in the general fund and transferring it. But yes, that is a portion of the funding, and when you look at the report, that shows down below as another source of revenue versus fees, which would be up above in the net revenue section. So we do break it out for you. Or it's actually a transfer, sorry. Okay, internal service funds. Our central service fund that supports copier printing and equipment repair is performing as expected. We did have a planned share of projects with technology, and that transfer was made for the year, or through the quarter. The employee benefits fund, again, is performing as within budget. We did plan to spend down reserves originally in that because there was some money that had been put in there for wellness programs. Our insurance reserve fund, we did have some additional claims, as we've mentioned, throughout the year from the flood in the prior summer or fall, and some different settlements that have come through. So we also received our incurred but not reported estimate from our actuary in the last month, and that is coming in at around $700,000 additional expense to the fund. So that was part of the supplemental budget we requested earlier on, so that's ready to be covered. We continue to work with FEMA on some of the outstanding claims for the outdoor labs. And our technology fund is for our district-wide technology, and expenditures are running slightly higher than planned due to some of the new initiatives we've discussed. Any questions on internal service funds?
The increased cost in the technology fund due to new initiatives, is that covered in the appropriation to accelerate the spend on the some of the $4.5 million.
With the accelerated schedule, there are additional costs in there to keep up with the school needs. But the, but not the $4.5 million that's in the budget
mobile
for 1415.
Okay.
Right.
So I guess my question is, did that appropriation cover these expenditures that are running slightly higher, or are you telling me there are additional expenditures running slightly higher above the appropriation we signed last? We approved last.
Are you talking the supplemental appropriation or the appropriation of the 1415 budget?
The supplemental appropriation.
We are within the supplemental appropriation on our spending.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, on this overhead chart, I just need to make a correction. There are no red flags for any of the charter schools. They're all yellow. Sorry about that. And so Mountain Phoenix was borrowing at the end of the quarter, and they are within their approved borrowing rate. I've been working very closely with the school. We're watching how they're coming in at year end. We anticipate them to be below actually what the borrowing was approved at. And so, I check in and talk to them almost every week. So they've been very cooperative in working with me and projecting where they're going to end the year. Rocky Mountain Deaf School is not borrowing at the end of the quarter. Part of that is because they still have best grant matching funds in their school that they're spending down. But their billing did get approved by the state, so they have gotten caught up on all their billings to other districts as well as the district, DEFCO. Two Roads High School had asked for an extension of their borrowing, but they are not using it at the end of the quarter, so that's good. And then Collegiate Academy is borrowing. They are well within the approved amount, and I checked in with them just a couple weeks ago, and their enrollment projections that they originally brought to us with their plan, they are not quite at yet, so they're really hoping to get some marketing in place to get some folks coming in over the summer. So they're not done yet. They're still working on enrollment.
Question on that one. Do you have any concerns at this point that the decrease in enrollment puts their ability to repay at risk?
I don't believe they'll decrease compared to this year. I think they are going to either be at a level of this year or increase. Okay. And I believe with the adopted budget, they will meet their commitments.
Thank you. One more question, and I'll give it to Stahlkemper. Why is the Rocky Mountain School Deaf School a yellow flag if they're not borrowing and it sounds like all is well?
They historically, seasonally borrow because of their excess cost billing that they have to have approved at the state level. So I believe this year, I don't know if we had it in for the second quarter, but we definitely got it in for the third quarter that they had their billing. So they usually would be borrowing if they hadn't been sitting on their best grant money. So I always worry about not warning everybody about that money is a one-time money that's going to be spent down, and very possibly next year they could be borrowing first quarter, and I don't like any surprises. So just a uniqueness about that school.
Thank you. Ms. Dahlkemper?
You had talked a little bit about enrollment at Collegiate, and it's my understanding that Collegiate, if I'm not mistaken, is starting a full-day kindergarten program this upcoming school year?
I thought they had full-day kindergarten. Mm-hmm. I thought we only had one charter school that wasn't running a full-day kindergarten prior, and that was Two Roads,
but
I could be wrong.
I'm not sure if we know that for sure. And do we know in the surrounding area if most of the schools in that surrounding area, the neighborhood schools, have full-day kindergarten?
Again, I don't know. I'd have to look.
We can provide that for you in the update memo.
That would be
great. So we'll give you the information.
Great. And then I would also love to know what enrollment looks like for full-day kindergarten at Collegiate, if we have that information as they, as they gather it, and how that might compare to the previous year.
Okay. Are there any other questions on charter schools? And then our last slide on the PowerPoint was just on the radar, our updates. Those are covered in our transmittal pages that come with your quarterly report, updating on all these areas. Lori, I didn't know if you want to add anything.
One thing I just want to highlight as part of this report, and it was mentioned during the budget process, is when we schedule your retreat and when we talk about what our plan is for next year, we absolutely need to get in front of you on the facility master planning and the update. We have high demand enrollment areas that we're not going to be able to meet. We have to look at our school capacity and utilization. So it's going to be big work, big conversation for you, because we really haven't had those discussions this year, and there's a lot of information, and I know that Mr. Bell and his team are anxious to get that information in front of you. Also, things on the radar that we've been talking a lot about are mobile device readiness, the classroom dashboard, data governance, again, other work that are going to have dollars associated with it. We have advisory committees in place to help and report to you. But when the dollars come into play, we need to have those discussions. Healthcare reform, you'll hear about decision making and conversations around the implementation of that. Our substitute teachers, as far as you've seen a lot of board correspondence on the pay rate for those substitute teachers. Our fill rates are still very, very high. However, we do need to be looking at that substitute rate and what we're paying our substitute teachers. And then again, as part of the budget process, we talked about Martinson and PUDs and opportunities related to special education and potentially maintaining costs, probably not likely reducing costs in that area. But these are items that need to be on the financial radar. These are items that we need to have some time with you and provide you information. Some of the strategies that we may consider with Mr. McMenemy will be, is there a reporting structure that we can get you the information, knowing that time is limited?
Thank you. Ms. Feldman.
Actually, I love the transmittal pages because those really help me focus. And I just had a real quick question. I noticed we had an IRS audit on May 12th. How'd it go?
He was here for a couple of hours. He had no findings, and I should get a formal report. It's usually a month or so after he visits, but I was very pleased. Our staff has done great in implementing all of the minimal, it was pretty minimal findings from the audit that they did before, but, and that was, of course, where he looked first, but he did a pretty overall quick review, and we did good.
Thank you.
Just one more comment. Ms. Askelson is very humble. She's also a hammer, and the reason why we did not have those findings is she is very diligent in the areas, and just really briefly, some of the areas where there's conversation is around our 1099 folks, should they be employees, are they vendors, and it takes a lot of work because you have a lot of schools wanting to do the right thing for the school, but there are those regulations, and between Kathleen Askelson and Deb Bell, it's great work.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our last agenda item is a Liberty Day resolution, and I would like to ask our two Liberty Day representatives to come up for a moment.
Good evening. Thank you very much, board, for this opportunity to address you and also to the audience for sticking around. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, president and CEO of the Liberty Day Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We've been around since 1996 educating kids about the Constitution. And to start, I'd like to introduce the fairly new, I guess, in the last couple of weeks, president of the Jefferson County Education Association, Mr. John Ford.
Thanks, Jimmy. First of all, I am the president of JCEA, but I'm also a parent and homegrown Jeffco kid. And most of all, I'm a passionate historian. I've taught history for 20 years. It's the most difficult decision I made to become the president of this association. But when Jimmy came and talked to me at my office, you know, he walked into my office, and I'm like, who are these people? And we had some really great conversations about who they were. And, you know, Jimmy is a conservative. I am not. And that said, that really kind of took us down the road of the conversation that we had, and it was really genuine. And when he asked me to come here to speak, I had a few reservations about it, but the more I talked to Jimmy and the more I started to understand the value of what he was trying to do, I said, you know what, I'm all in. And here's why. In 1776, some guys stood up and said, you know what, we're going to declare our independence to the world. And they did it with the Declaration of Independence. 1787, they constructed the Constitution. It was ratified in 1789. And then in 1791, we got our first Bill of Rights. All of those documents help shape who we are in this society. And being a history teacher, I have that certain kind of passion for that kind of stuff. And when we had the discussion about the actual documents, I looked through them and I said, you know what? These are primary source documents. That's what we ask our kids to do. We ask them to read them and analyze them. I taught government class for years and years and years. And the hardest thing that I tried to convey to my students is read these documents not for a grade, but for yourself. And this is a great opportunity to get those documents in the hands of fifth grade students. They are primary documents, they are not changed. Okay, that's why I gravitated towards them. The Institute's main goal is to get those in the hands of every fifth grader in Jefferson County, and I support that. The documents are written like they were at the time period. So there are some difficulties with fifth graders in that reading level. So it's going to be up to the teachers to use those documents and a lesson plan that works with, you know, the educating of those kids, and they're going to need some help with that. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jimmy and let him finish up.
Thank you very much, John. And, you know, I want to underscore something very important to me about this. Liberty Day is nonpartisan and nonpolitical. For example, politically, we are supported by Senators Mark Udall and Michael Bennett. We are supported by Congressman Cory Gardner and Mike Kaufman. We're supported by individuals in a number of different states, from governors and senators and congressmen and others. And there's a very important reason for that, and that is because the Constitution at its core is something that is our shared heritage. Whether we immigrated here 250 years ago or 25 days ago, it's something that bridges us together. It's freedom, it's a commonality. And we have our differences of opinion, and they may be fierce sometimes, but nevertheless, they are rooted in the freedoms in that Constitution. And instilling in the hearts and minds of young people, especially fifth graders learning about the Constitution for the first time, why it is so valuable is, in my mind, one of the most important things we can do. Especially when it involves empowering teachers with not just Constitution books, but also unbiased resources that allow them to explore in more depth with their students. I can tell you one of the most significant periods for me was when I was in high school. I first got involved in the Liberty Day organization. It was called Liberty Day at the time. We recently changed our name. And I put together a high school conference for high school students because fifth grade had been the focus. And this was at a time when I was in school. I had just finished a government class. I went through Cherry Creek Schools, graduated from Grandview High School a number of years ago. And Mr. Ryman was his name. And the way that he influenced me in terms of thinking, in terms of delving into issues and considering different opinions and perspective, underscores to me the value and importance of making sure that our teachers have the tools and the resources that they need to do what they do best, which is educate. That's been my experience for the vast majority of teachers. I'm proud to be a public school graduate through K through 12, all of those years, and it's because of the impact of these teachers. And so Liberty Day, again, 501c3, nonprofit organization, the Liberty Day Institute. Also, I am happy to always to answer questions. As my seventh grade teacher, Mr. Schmitz, would say, answer any questions, comments, concerns, or haikus that you may pose. And it is incredible to be here in this opportunity, and I hope that we can work together. I do want to note one final thing, and this is in regards to a question I understand Ms. Dahlkemper had asked Eric Boyd during our presentation a couple of weeks ago, which is in terms of communication with the district and going over our resources and how they fit in with the curriculum. We've been doing more independent reviews, and we're continuing to develop resources and looking for teachers and other educational partners to help us in that endeavor. But we're also looking forward tomorrow to speaking with Matt Flores on the phone to discuss in greater detail some of the aspects and ways of incorporating this specifically. But tonight we certainly would appreciate the support from the board in this endeavor. It's nonpartisan, nonpolitical. It's about the kids, and it's about providing our teachers with the best resources that they can have to do what they do best, which is educate our students. So thank you very much for the time.
Thank you both. Ms. Stahlkamper, do you have a question?
Just to confirm, all of the materials that are provided by Liberty Day are all voluntary, just to confirm. So if teachers are interested in tapping, for example, the web-based tools that you offer, they can do that. Nowhere in the resolution does it say you must tap these tools as part of an overall curriculum.
Yes, the resolution that we had proposed does not specifically require it. It encourages teachers to utilize the materials because we understand that there is a time process. If hypothetically speaking, down the road, there were an opportunity to incorporate it, that's something to explore. But at the present time, the essence is just making sure that the resources are available, teachers are aware of them, and that we can see how it works for Jeffco School.
Well, I want to thank you both for your passionate address. It really comes out from both of you how much you care about this, and we certainly do as well. With that said, is there a motion on this issue?
I move to adopt the resolution on Liberty Day.
Second.
Discussion? I think we've already had the discussion. Roll call.
Stahlkamper?
Yes.
Ms. Fellman?
Yes.
Mr. Newkirk?
Yes.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Witt?
Yes. Thank you very much. Before we adjourn, I want to take a moment to, thank our staff for their hard work this year. Transition is never easy, and this leadership team worked hard to keep this organization going in a great direction. I first want to thank Helen Neal, who's been the backstop for all of our board. She's been through a lot this year and has come to work each day with a smile and has done her best to be sure this board is ready for each meeting. Thank you, Helen, and thank you, Debbie Ward, for filling in for her over the past few weeks as well. I want to thank Steve Bell for his leadership this year. You've done great work. I want to thank Lori Gillis for her extraordinary efforts. You've done an amazing job ushering a new board through the budget process and have jumped in wherever it was needed. Thank you very much. Some of you will be moving on to new challenges next year. I want to thank Heather Beck. She's not here with us, but we very much wish her the best as she transitions to Oregon. I want to thank Marcia Anker, who came out of retirement to lead the Achievement Directors and will be returning to retirement at the end of the month. And I want to thank all Jeffco employees and community members whose primary desire is to see our students succeed. Thanks to all of you. And to our board, Ms. Dahlkamper often reminds the community that it takes a highly effective board to guide a highly effective district. I want to thank each of my fellow board members for their contributions this year. We've all invested many hours to advocate for what we believe is the best for students and staff in Jeffco. I also want to ask that we all spend some time over the next month thinking about what we each can do individually to contribute to this board being highly effective. We've set higher achievement goals for students and for staff, and it will take a great deal of work from our staff and our community to be sure those are met. They'll need to work smarter and be more effective, and this board needs to do the same. I personally commit to bringing back what I can do to help us become more effective, and I ask each board member to do the same. I hope each of you has a relaxing break. Thank you all again for your hard work. Have a nice summer. This meeting is adjourned.